The librarian-controlled schools don't want you to be able to manage complex mathematics. So I've prepared this helpful guide. Definition of Book 1. The best place to start a series. You can identify Book 1 by the fact that it has a little 1 on the spine. Smedries do a happy dance when you read Book 1 first. Entropy shakes its angry fist at you for being clever enough to organize the world. Definition of Book 2. The book you read after Book 1. If you start with Book 2, I will make fun of you. Okay, so I'll make fun of you either way, but honestly, do you want to give me more ammunition? Definition of Book 3. The worst place, currently, to start a series. If you start here, I will throw things at you. Definition of Book 4. And how do you manage to start with that one? I haven't even written it yet. You sneaky time travelers. Anyway, if you haven't read Book 2, you missed out on some very important events. Those include a trip into the fabled Library of Alexandria, sludge that tastes faintly of bananas, ghostly librarians that want to suck your soul, giant glass dragons, the tomb of Alcatraz I, and, most important, a lengthy discussion about belly button lint. By not reading Book 2, you also just forced a large number of people to waste an entire minute reading that recap. I hope you're satisfied. I clomped along, making my way toward a solitary figure standing near the chest of the bird. Enormous glass wings beat on either side of me, and I passed thick glass bird legs that were curled up and tucked back. Wind howled and slammed against me. The bird, called the Hawkwind, wasn't quite as majestic as our previous vehicle, a glass dragon called the Dragonaut. Still, it had a nice group of compartments inside where one could travel in luxury. My grandfather, of course, couldn't be bothered with something as normal as waiting inside a vehicle. No, he had to cling to the bottom and stare out over the ocean. I fought against the wind as I approached him, and then, suddenly, the wind vanished. I froze in shock, one of my boots locking into place on the bird's glass underside. Grandpa Smedry jumped, turning.
"Rotating Rothfusses!" he exclaimed. "You surprised me, lad!"
"Sorry," I said, walking forward, my boots making a clinking sound each time I unlocked one, took a step, then locked back onto the glass. As always, my grandfather wore a sharp, black tuxedo. He thought it made him blend in better in the hushlands. He was bald, except for a tuft of white hair that ran around the back of his head, and he sported an impressively bushy white mustache.
"What happened to the wind?" I asked.
"Hmm? Oh, that."
My grandfather reached up, tapping the green-specked spectacles he wore. They were oculatory lenses, a type of magical glasses that, when activated by an oculator like Grandpa Smedry or myself, could do some very interesting things. Those things don't, unfortunately, include forcing lazy readers to go and reread the first couple of books, thereby removing the need for me to explain all of this stuff over and over again.
"Windstormer's lenses?" I asked. "I didn't know you could use them like this."
"I'd had a pair of Windstormer's lenses, and I'd used them to shoot out jets of wind."
"It takes quite a bit of practice, my boy," Grandpa Smedry said in his boisterous way. "I'm creating a bubble of wind that is shooting out from me in exactly the opposite direction of the wind that's pushing against me, thereby negating it all."
"But shouldn't that blow me backward as well?"
"What? No, of course not. What makes you think that it would?"
Physics?" I said. Which, you might agree, is a rather strange thing to be mentioning while hanging upside down through the use of magical glass boots. Grandpa Smedry laughed.
"Excellent joke, lad. Excellent."
He clasped me on the shoulder. Free Kingdomers like my grandfather tend to be very amused by librarian concepts like physics, which they find to be utter nonsense.